This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Is there cause for concern in the NFL? Even though one team looked pretty good, we will get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, it's Brady Quinn, and it's Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever the hell you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We are taking you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, Brady, where's your ears?
I was just going to say. I don't think my kids have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh,
so
wow.
They don't know that. Because my oldest is 5. It's she's not really old enough to truly enjoy it, I don't think. Maybe she is. I don't know. But I did not remember that until we played it. What, yesterday? Yesterday's the first time I heard that. God knows how long.
Yeah. There's you know the great thing about Chuck E. Cheese? They serve pitchers of beer.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
You know the weird thing about dad's getting lit.
The weird thing about Chuck E. Cheese for me is you have this great conundrum, right? You grow up being afraid of rats. Like, I still hate rats to this day, right? But you're
supposed to sit on one's lap.
But you made your main character of the place a rat.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah, now that I think about it.
It's kind of weird, man.
Yeah, it's like being terrified of snakes, and then you show up, and there's a giant snake.
Or if it's like a roach.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, kids!
Well, I mean, give it
let's play some games! Hey, that's a roach, man!
Well, like, give it a minute. It'll be in the studio here, so, you know, don't worry about it.
Hey, Brady. Hey, Brady.
Yeah.
There was a roach the other week that came walking by, strolling by.
The size of a DirecTV remote.
Like you were in his house?
Hey, bro, like it just finished taking a shower, got breakfast, got a cup of Joe, like was hanging out and just like, hey, guys, how y'all doing? Like, he was not going to bother us not one bit. He didn't scurry. See, I'm used to seeing, you know, them scurry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they don't run. Roaches scurry. And that's just like skeeves. You know what I mean? That's, this roach was so cool and confident and just, it was so cool that I was like, I'm looking at it like, it's a roach. I know that's a roach. But my mental Rolodex, it wasn't computing that it was a roach because the roaches, and you know what it is? It's probably because, like, it's in a comfortable environment.
Hell yeah.
It gets to listen to all kinds of entertainment all hours of the day. I mean, listening to great lineups. I mean, I guess the roaches I saw was, like, they was trying to get to where they was trying to go just like we were trying to get to where we were going. I was judging the roach. But we was doing the same exact things. You know what I mean? Because it's real out here in these streets, man.
Yeah, listen, I hear you.
So you're sitting out, Roach was relaxed.
It was relaxed.
Jonas. Hey,
did you hear that segue that Brady just gave us?
Yeah, that's a broadcast professional there.
L-A-X. Relax.
Hey, if he keeps that up, he's going to end up on Big Noon Kickoff. Oh, I'm telling you, man.
You know what? I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, big TV star here. All right, so I got to say this about Aaron Rodgers. Man, he looks a lot different when he's not getting hit in the nuts. Mm. I'll say that. He looks like a much better quarterback. I'm just saying, like, he's not taking any direct shots to the balls. The next thing you know, he's delivering. That throw to Tonyan, how many guys in the league can make that throw, Brady?
Maybe five guys.
He's unbelievable, man. Some of the stuff he's able to do.
He didn't have as much pressure on him either. You know,
what do you mean? You're not saying
a little bit of a different team.
What do you mean? The Detroit Lions? You don't think they're like
The Saints took it on the chin, but I'm gonna give them a pass because of all the whole protocols or whatever that took place. But yeah, it was a different. That was a different set of circumstances that Aaron Rodgers was under last night.
And listen, if anybody tells you that I wasn't sweating out a potential backdoor cover with the lead 18 and some people having it 11.5 and the Lions, Jared Goff throwing into the end zone late there on a fourth down, some people were stressed out about it. But nonetheless, the Packers get on the board and they figure things out and go 1-1. Good for them.
A lot of bets there at play. Let me tell you something, too, by the way. when you're not a good team, you know what you don't do?
What's that?
You don't go for it on fourth down, okay? You don't go for it when you're in field goal range. You take the points. You keep it within a one-score game. It really wasn't until a final touchdown where it got out of reach. If they had just taken the field goal when they were in field goal range, I want to say, what, earlier in the – or late in the third maybe? Mm-hmm. Instead of going for it on fourth down when they did, that was the backbreaker for Detroit. They hadn't scored all half. It would have gave them more momentum. And instead, everyone wants to – oh, the analytics, the statistics. You know what the statistics tell you, okay? You don't know if you really break down the fourth and one or fourth and two and who actually gets those conversions. It's the good teams. It's not the Lions, all right? It's not a team that's a perennial, like, struggling bottom-dweller team. You kick the field goal, okay? Then you hit your over – for the points
Detroit, there it is.
Which should have came into play. And then it makes Jonas sweat out. It makes him sweat out that spread even more so. But by the way, throwing the ball in the end zone, it's like, dude, it's fourth and three. Just convert it. Extend the drive. Like, there was so many times I've watched this team going, yeah, this is why you're going to lose a lot of football games. You're just incredibly mismanaged right now. But I don't know. Will the Lions ever be good? Like, will they ever be able to get a run game? Will they ever be good?
They're so bad that they have first ballot Hall of Famers disgruntled with them.
Yes.
That's how bad. You're so bad, you have players in retirement that still got beef with you.
You know what they do, too? I was thinking about this. They tease you. Because if you were to go position by position, would you say that Matt Stafford has been a top 10 to 15 quarterback in the NFL the last 10 years? Like, if you're just, like, consistently
top, in top 15.
Okay, yeah. So he's been a top half of the league quarterback. Calvin Johnson's one of the better wide receiver talents we've seen in a long time. They've had Barry Sanders there. Look, and also, even after Calvin Johnson leaves, you know, Galladay was there. Marvin Jones was there. They've had talent there. It's not like this has been a team that's been void of talent up and down the roster. Like, they've had legitimate players there that have come through the organization. And it almost gives you the disguise of, well, maybe, you know what I mean? And then you see him on Thanksgiving and you're like, God, same old thing again. It's just, they never can figure it out. I have more faith in some of the other bad teams. I have more faith in Jacksonville. I'm telling you this right now, being able to figure out whatever it is they're trying to figure out than the Lions. If I'm a Lions fan, they just tease you, give the impression that they've got real talent and real players, only to roll out a 4 or 5 win season seemingly every single year.
But that's a lot of teams. That's the sad thing about it. Brady said it on another other show at another point in time. You're literally talking about the vast majority of teams in the league, and you want to know what's even more interesting. I'd rather. If I'm from a place with one of these types of teams, I'd rather my team just all the way suck like the Lions versus a team that may or may not like the Bengals. Like, they'll make it to the playoffs. You know they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know they're not going to make a real run to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it happened, what, like one time? The Icky Woods era?
Oh, the icky shuffle.
Right. Yeah, like, yeah. You know the Browns aren't winning the Super Bowl. You know, as good as they are this year, they're not winning it. You know it.
I can do the icky shuffle, by the way.
I would rather like you got to go back to the Webster Slaughter era and yeah.
What
Eric
a name,
Metcalf,
by the way.
And,
yeah.
You know, you're, and
hey,
all those
hey,
guys
Lavar,
and,
you're saying some of my names now. The Kevin, remember Kevin Mack?
Come on, yeah. The big running back, Kevin Mack. Mack represented what the Browns did, the dog, like. Yeah. Mac, yes. Like he was like an Okoye,
the biggest shoulder pads in the history of the league,
and even when it seemingly could be a thing, my man Ernest fumbles the ball.
No, don't go there.
And the whole thing about it is that something is going to go wrong with one of these teams. It doesn't matter if they're going to get further or if they're just going to be bad to begin with. So I almost kind of respect the fact that Detroit just gives you, listen, cheer for us. You're from here, or you like something about the Detroit Lions. I have no idea what it would be. Maybe you like Lions. Maybe you like Blue Lions. I don't know. But cheer for us and support us, because otherwise you're not getting anything else. I'd rather have that. I'd rather respect that. Like, I know we're probably going to lose. So if we win, it's a bonus.
Here's the hard part, though. is they got to sell something. So every one of these franchises sells optimism to their fan base. But the reality is, because I think we talked about this at one point in time before the season started, but like, does every team go in to the season thinking they can win a Super Bowl? And honestly, I think if you played in the NFL long enough, and it only takes probably a few years, you kind of say to yourself, and especially if you've been on different teams, like, yeah, no, like this team is not good enough. Like this team, like it would take an incredible amount of luck for us to be able to get there. Even if you're one of the better players. I mean, think about Aaron Rodgers' frustration with the Packers. Is he's been good enough to get that team to back-to-back NFC championship games, but he knows he's looking at the rest of it saying, yeah, we're not good enough to be able to win a Super Bowl. Like, I've won one. I know what it's like. Like, we don't have those components. They don't let me be a part of the conversations so we can go win one. And so the crazy thing is when you think about teams like Detroit, for example, what are they selling? Like, what do they ultimately believe? Oh, it's a rebuild year. Okay, every year's a rebuild year.
But that's what you got to sell.
Which is nuts to me. It's like you're the vacuum, right? Like, you're not Dyson. You're not the top-of-the-line vacuum that's going to last, that has a great warranty, that's going to actually pick crap up off the floor. You're like the generic brand that's like, oh, we're just trying to make some sales. You know, we're just trying to win a few games here and there. We're just trying to do our job every once in a while, and then, you know, you have to get a new generic vacuum and start over again. I mean, like use any analogy you want. Like, they are the brand that, like, is just – it's there. It's not going to be overly impressive. It may be better at times than something else, or it may surprise some people, but it's never going to be what you ultimately want, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to suck the majority of the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's generic vacuum. Like, that's what it's going to be.
At least they got something. There's a lot of cities in this country that don't have football teams, right? Ask the city of St. Louis how they feel about football right now.
I'll say this. I mean, Kansas City, they just got theirs. I mean, they hadn't been, like, forever,
but
right?
They were still a competitive team. Like, they were going to the playoffs with Alex Smith.
Yeah, and they have history, like, all the way back, like, way, way back, way
and Marty Schottenheimer, there were some good teams. Nick Lowry, Nick Lowry, the kicker?
It goes further back than
Barry
Marty.
Barry Word.
They weren't getting Super Bowls, though. They weren't. I'm talking before modern-day NFL, like it was the NFL, like, that far back. You know, and they won a Super Bowl, and now they're perennial Super Bowl contenders. So I don't understand the phenomenon of it all the way, but there are just some teams you can bet the bank on it. They're not going to win it. You bet the bank on it.
At least you know.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. So take it for – sometimes you just got to accept – it's like that relative that you don't like coming over for the holiday. You just got to take it at face value. I don't really want you here.
Yeah.
But I tolerate you being here. Or I don't want to go over your house.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tolerate it. It's like I don't like coming in here and sitting with you, but I tolerate it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's how it works.
It's like dating a stripper.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like,
no, I was joking, everybody.
Well, I mean,
I enjoy coming in with Jonas.
Well, listen,
it was comic relief. Jonas didn't laugh, though, Brady.
But here's the thing. I would say this. When you date a stripper, not that I have, but when you date a stripper, you just kind of have the expectation. There's going to be 2-3 nights a week where she's going to come home smelling like cologne.
It's just the way it is. What is a stripper?
I'm just saying an exotic dancer, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, an exotic dancer. I'm just saying. Right. So if you're a Lions fan, you just understand.
You know, that's like calling somebody on, you know, that takes care of you on a flight, like
flight attendant,
a stewardess.
Yeah,
you can't call them strippers, man. There's the evolution. Like, you gotta have a little bit more respect for.
So what would it be? Exotic dancer?
Yeah, exotic dancer.
I would say exotic dancer is a little bit too exotic.
Okay, so
it does sound too exotic.
You know, I just think that it just needs to be
professional dancer.
A professional dancer is very good.
A pole hugger?
They are professionals. Like, if you're a professional dancer, tell me what type of dances are you doing? It could be any type of dancing,
that's
right?
That's a good point. Yeah,
that is
like
true.
You could be a ballerina.
That is true.
You
that's
could be an
point.
Expressive dancer. Yeah. So just point. Call them. So just
I
call
like
them
expressive.
Right.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
An expressive dancer.
Very right. Expressive. Right. So sounds
you could be
like
a river walk, that's a river dancer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, <that's> a good point.
Lord of the dance.
All right. Yeah. So an expressive dancer. That's good.
But that. It's they're pros.
Yeah, they are.
They're professionals.
Professional, and you could see a lot of
you've
them.
You've got to be in really good shape to be able to do some of the and very flexible, might I add, to be able to do
wow.
some of the things. I mean, it's 3:17, so
I would
some
agree.
Of our homies are probably listening yeah. to our show right now, and they deserve to be able to enjoy Sports Talk Radio
yeah,
too. Shouts out to all you professional dancers yeah. that are either finishing up, just starting your shift, whatever it may be, because yeah. we're just starting our shift
yeah.
as well.
And listen,
so we're working late night, early hours too. So.
We agree.
Could this be a new thing
right.
where LeVar gives shout outs to part of the audience that maybe people didn't think about?
Yeah.
Not waking up thinking about right away?
How about it?
Yeah, I'm just
I
saying.
Like this.
How about
I like
it?
This.
They're professionals too.
And I,
they have to yes. pay taxes too, gosh
and,
darn it.
And I,
well, for some of the money.
Yeah,
not
you,
all
know, you know
yeah.
what I mean. I mean, that's us too.
And I apologize. I apologize for calling them strippers. I was reading off LeVar's
there you
teleprompter.
Go. No
I apologize.
I just figured
right.
I'd just clear that
listen,
up.
Listen, all right, well, I'm glad you did.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just ask you guys this, because LeVar mentioned this before. Brady, you said, well, you know, it's like you just kind of go into these seasons thinking we don't really have a shot at winning a Super Bowl. Brady, have you heard the story about, like, you're a big fan of John Madden, correct? Like,
love
big fan
John
of,
Madden.
I love John Madden,
love
too.
John Madden.
Haven't heard
yeah.
John Madden say a bad thing to anybody. Except for
except
LeVar
for
Arrington.
Really?
Horrible.
So, wait, what?
Yeah, just a kick in the nuts.
Disrespecting me so
hold
bad.
Hold on, hold
man.
On. I need to hear this.
Tell about the time John Madden wore steel-toe boots and kicked you in the nuts,
so,
LeVar.
So we were coming into the season. And they were calling the game. I believe we were the first game of the year. We were playing, I want to say, the Jets. They still had Curtis Martin. They had Lamont Jordan that year. They're a pretty good team. And I want to say that was the year we brought in, like, Jesse Armstead, the meathead from Philadelphia, the linebacker. A couple other guys. I want to say we had a pretty interesting offseason, which we always did. But we were pretty stacked and still loaded from my rookie year. And I'm in the production meeting, and we're talking. And John Madden is sitting there, and he's like, you know, he's like, yeah. You got a lot of energy, LeVar. Like, it's like you're really I like how you are. Like I didn't know him and didn't have experiences with him. I'm just excited to be in this production meeting and I'm like not knowing that I'm being set up. You know, it was a setup. So he gets me going and I'm like, Yeah, I'm with you. He was like, so do you think you're gonna win the Super Bowl? I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to win this thing. This is our year. I know it's been rough. We're going to get it turned around. Like, this is the year. He says to me, he makes this face. Like, you know, John hits you with a blank stare. Like, his stares are really blank. Like, they're fully loaded, but the look you get is very, very blank. You're not reading it. Like, he probably was at some point a really, really dope poker player, you know what I mean? Because you don't know what direction he's going in. This man says to me, I will bungee cord out of the Goodyear blimp over the 50-yard line at halftime if the Washington football team, and he didn't say football team, he said the other name, if they're playing in the Super Bowl. Now, we haven't played one game yet, Brady. We have not played one game.
Now I'm curious to see what the look on your face was.
First off, I felt really disrespected. Like, and back then, you got to know, I was loyal to the soil. And I was definitely like, like borderline a-hole. Like I was so intense about protecting our name and our team and our guys. One time I threatened Jay Leno. Like I told Jay Leno, bring Jay Leno's ass to Washington football, which it wasn't that then, but it was our park back then.
What was it?
It was our park. Yeah, right. Now it's Washington football team park, I would assume. I don't know, but it was our park back then.
You're like, saying our park like or like our park?
R, as like in the letter R.
Oh,
I got and you. So I'm not the giving you I'm not giving you the whole name.
What
right?
did that R stand racist. For though?
Okay, that's what it stood for.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I tell Jay Leno, you bring your ass to the park and you put some pads on and I'm gonna kick your ass.
Hey.
Right?
That got close.
Wow.
And here's why Jay Leno got it. Because I couldn't say that to John Madden. You can't disrespect John Madden.
No,
John Madden,
he's got 3.5 hours then of bashing your football team every time he comes in town.
And he'll make you slow in the video game.
Well, yeah, that too.
Like that's the other thing.
There's just some guys that you got to respect them because of what they meant to the game and what they're doing for the game still. John Madden was untouchable. So I ate that. But when Jay Leno did it, I told Jay Leno, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you down. Like, and Jay Leno called me that day. It got out through the media. He called me that day. He's like, hey, look, man. Hey, I didn't mean it. This is material. You know? He was making fun of us. Like, he was making fun of our team. And we were make funnable. Like, we were easy targets. And, yeah, so he said he would bungee cord.
Out of the
Goodyear blimp. And if you know,
he doesn't fly.
If you want to add insult to injury for those out there who aren't aware of John Madden and what makes this so disrespectful is John Madden does not fly. He will not leave the earth. Like he will not leave the ground. He doesn't fly. He doesn't do anything that would involve him leaving the ground. So he took buses from place to place.
Yeah.
When he was doing things. So never flies. Will not
the Madden
fly.
Madden Cruiser, right?
Yeah. Will not fly. So for somebody to tell you that they would do something that they never do in their life, if you make it to the Super Bowl, tells you all you need to know about how bad we really were in reality versus what we thought we were in fantasy.
And what team was he talking about? Like the team that he was talking about? Because you keep saying R as I'm just trying to figure out.
Our team.
Okay.
Yeah, are you saying we are?
Yeah.
Wait, was this a Penn State
no,
thing?
Not
yeah,
R.
hold on.
Yeah, Brady,
R.
I'm confused too. Like,
I,
so what
I have
you,
a
like,
Pittsburgh
what,
accent.
What do you mean?
our team.
Yeah. It's just,
no.
just
maybe I come from
who,
a pirate
who is that
family.
Team, who is that team
R.
in Pittsburgh?
It started with an R.
Stillers.
Stillers. Stillers.
Dusty says it.
You work too hard
Stillers.
At it, man.
He does.
That's how you know you're not from there, man.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just walking out of the bar.
Yeah.
You know,
Stillers.
Like, Stillers. Stillers.
Yeah.
Stillers.
All right. It is two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming
Apparently,
up,
I wasn't much of a pro.
12 minutes.
John Madden was going to jump out of that Goodyear blimp. It wasn't enough.
That wasn't an indictment on you. Yeah, it was an indictment on the team and where you guys were at. I know we're all one when we're part of the team, but
felt like a loser before we even started the season, Brady.
Yeah. Well, I was
strong in mind and in heart, but my emotions, they were destroyed.
Yeah.
John Gruden asked me before a Monday Night Football game versus the Ravens when I was in Cleveland. He like. Dead faced, leaned across the table and just goes, do you think you guys can win tomorrow night? And honestly, there was like, you know how you got like that second or two that runs through your head before you answer something because your mind's racing about what you actually think or
right.
want to say?
Right.
And I said yes, but I was thinking in my mind,
we're
going to have to play our best game.
Right.
And we're going to have to catch them on an off night. I mean, we were a one-win team at that point in time in the season. We were a young football team, but that was irrelevant. I mean, we had gone through so much turnover on the roster, new scheme, new coach, new all this stuff.
What was his response?
You had to clear your throat?
He just kind of leaned back. Okay. I mean, but he kind of pressed me on it. And my thing was, and I've always been this way, because the next thing where my mind went to was, I'm always the type of guy, maybe it's like the whole Notre Dame mantra and all that, but like what though the odds be great or small, I've always liked the odds stacked against me. Mm-hmm. I've always liked that. I've always loved when people said, no, you can't do something. I've loved that. Like put it all against me and let me see if I can't show you what I can do. And look, more often than not, you're probably going to lose in those scenarios unless you just have supreme talent, which that wasn't me. But I think, like, I can still do it, right?
Right?
Like, I'll get on a golf course, and there'll be some shot, and it's like I'm Kevin Costner in Tin Cup because I'm like, I've got the ability to hit this shot, but I don't practice and play enough to be able to actually do it in this moment. Now, maybe one in
Not
every 10
in this
times.
Moment in particular.
Maybe one in 10 times, or maybe I should have had those 10 beers before this shot.
Right.
But I'm sure as hell going to try it because I didn't come here to lay up. You know, like, I didn't come here to lay down. And so I think that way. I can't speak for everyone else in our locker room, though. Like, that's what I wanted to say. Like, you put me anywhere, and I feel like I got a shot at winning. But again, I don't know that everyone else is feeling that way. And that's the hard thing, I think, about the NFL. Like, the Lions last night. You're going into Lambeau in Green Bay, and you probably wish the Packers would have won week one.
Yes.
You probably wish they wouldn't have got the doors beat off of them in week one by the Saints. And so they wouldn't be coming into this matchup for their home opener going, yeah, we're about ready to open up a can on these dudes, you know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. Let me just toss a hypothetical out at you guys. When I was watching the game last night, I noticed two things. One, Aaron Rodgers isn't upset anymore. Like, when you look at his face... He has a very relaxed face.
Yes.
All right. And then I looked at Jared Goff's face, and Jared Goff is like, he's got the WTF face, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he kind of always has that, though.
Yeah, but it's more pronounced.
I think it was a problem in L.A. because he had that face. They're like, we don't do this in L.A. Like, we're L.A. We don't do that face. We'll get you some plastic surgery to get rid of that if you want.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, man. What an attack on Southern California.
The thing about it last night when I was watching it, it was his body language. It was like, it was just like, Jared Goff. Like, And I start thinking to myself, would Cam Newton be a viable option for the Detroit Lions? They need a shot in the arm. You know what the Detroit Lions need? They need a signature player. They don't. Who's their signature player right now?
Yeah, but they're in a full rebuild, though.
Like, yeah, I know.
Is Jared Goff going
to
be there?
So why not get a stopgap? Get a stopgap guy. You know,
here's why I think you need Jared Goff is because I know this. He'll sling that football around like he did it in college. He's done it so far in his NFL. We saw week one. Like, they're going to be down a lot of games. I mean, you watch that defense. With Okuda out, their best cover corner, they can't get much pressure. It's going to fall on his shoulders to be able to sling the football around. And so I think that's the difficulty is.
But what about trading off because they're not good? So trading off the fact, like, all conventional wisdom, like, okay, he can sling the ball around. Okuda's out. Like, I get all that. But what about mentality? What about, like, kind of like belief? Like, oh, like, I look at Cam and it's like, maybe I believe we can win. Like, I know Cam isn't the best at this point.
I don't think they care if they win.
They don't care?
I think this is a full-blown rebuild. I think it's a rebuild without having to say a rebuild.
The players.
I understand, but I just think the organization is not going to put them in the best spot to succeed.
I think my only concern is with Cam is, does Cam want to go to that situation?
Oh, hell no.
He goes there and he's put in a tough position to be in, like any quarterback that plays there, by the way. Like, I don't care. If Matt Stafford stayed there, which there's a reason why he went up to the front office and asked for his release.
Of course.
He knew what was coming.
Yep.
And if any, whatever player's there, they're going to struggle. And if I'm Cam Newton, and given how things went in New England, and given how things have kind of gone now at this point in time in my career with the way things ended in Carolina, you got to be particular about the opportunities that you take. Because it might be the last one.
But what if it's already happened, though? You see, I don't know that he has that luxury at this moment.
It could be, and he might have to wait until next year. But he's made enough money where he's got the ability to do that. I just think at this point, I don't know that I'd want to go on and be a part of the Lions when I'm not in their future plans. no matter what he does this year, to Jonas's point, they're in a full rebuild. I don't know if that would be the way I'd want to go, because I'm thinking to myself, this could be it. Is this how I want to go out? Or do I want to try to have an offseason, some time to actually be in an offense where I have a shot at being able to execute, play at the high level, play it the way I've experienced previously in my career? That'd be my thought process.
See, I think those days are long gone. I think it's more about, to me, if I'm trying, I'm just looking for an opportunity at this point. I think all that.
I don't think, he's already there.
Yeah,
you think
bro.
He's already there. Like, so this is it then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's still got that like one last shot.
Yeah.
You're a good man for believing that deeply.
It's his aura, LeVar.
Dude, he's a former MVP.
Yeah, come
I mean,
on,
you
LeVar.
Really think this yes. is it? Like, if he doesn't get picked up this season, it's over.
Well, what I'm saying is the days of him being an MVP and playing that level have gone. They've passed. So he's not going to make a team. Like, what team would he go to and make better where he would have the opportunity to go that, what, Tampa Bay? All right.
Well, I
mean,
I don't know that he'd go anywhere and make them better. I think it's the opportunity
or
to
even
go someplace.
Fit, right?
Yeah.
Fit with what? And we're saying the same thing. Fit with a team that has the type of talent where you just can't mess it up.
Indianapolis. I think he'd be a better fit in Indianapolis.
Let's kick the tires on that one.
Yeah.
Because I think that's another interesting one because they need it.
Right.
They now need that. Like, I'm giving a hypothetical. I mean, the Lions need everything. But I'm giving a hypothetical about the Lions. So, I mean, does that one work?
Yeah, well, that I think is an interesting conversation.
Because he's got, like, what? He's got two peg legs right now?
Four sprained ankles, I think, or
four.
Something like that. He's got four of them.
Can we talk about that,
ankles.
By the way?
Yeah.
I mean, can we talk about that?
Yeah, we definitely need to get into that.
That is an interesting pool right there. That percolated very quickly.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Right now, we must welcome in the great Petros Papadakis. You hear him on AM 570 LA Sports. You also see his work on FS1 and beyond. He's basically the voice of Hawaii football on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah.
The great Petros Papadakis.
That's so
P,
funny.
What's happening?
I know if I don't, I love the Rainbow Warriors, but if I don't have to see them again this year, I think I'd be okay with that.
You know that those are fighting words with Jonas Knox.
Well,
you know
no,
that, right?
it's the truth.
Did you watch
man.
The game?
It's
I mean,
bad. It's
I
bad.
I mean, nobody, anybody on the East Coast. I mean, it was 4 a.m. when we got done. 4:30 in the morning on the East Coast, but we were in really we're prime time in Thailand.
There you go.
But
I love
you know
this.
You know in Bangkok they love Calvin Turner's their favorite football player.
Yes.
And but Hawaii and San Jose State on Saturday night, I think they must have had a combined, and I'm not kidding, 25 drops, 30 drops.
It was rough.
Yeah, and like 30 punts, and I'm not a guy who needs the game to be 45-10 or, you know, really high-scoring game and to have a bunch of touchdowns to call. I'm not that guy, but, man, that was a slog on Saturday night and early in the morning.
How do you announce that 28th, 29th drop?
Like, you just say, we're having some trouble with the football.
At 28, 29?
You tell them to build a package showing everybody dropping the ball. The funny thing was, like, it was an empty stadium because of the protocols in Hawaii. It's an island. If a bunch of people get sick, they can't just ship them to another state or bring in a bunch of doctors. It's an island. So they have a different way of handling things, and they didn't have anybody in the stadium, and they had our feed, and this happens sometimes with kind of more of a smaller school. They just had the game feeding back to their big-ass scoreboard. So you imagine, like, all the players just standing there watching the packages that we kept putting together of guys dropping
man.
The ball over and over and over again, and it just got contagious. It was a pandemic of drops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that it's over now, and San Jose State escaped and survived. But that's a tough trip.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It can also be a tough trip going to Pullman, Washington, Petros. Not sure if you saw that, but
I know what happened.
The
USC didn't. They fired. This is actually true. They fired their security guy years ago. They hadn't been to Pullman since, and he's the only guy that remembered how to get off the plane in Pullman because it's a smaller plane, and so. They all ran off the plane.
The rest of them stayed on?
Well, they didn't open the back door. You got to open them at the same time and get everybody off at the same time. Otherwise, you do the hydraulics like you're rolling in your 6'4". And they just popped up in Lewiston, Idaho. But they went in and won. They came back. You'd expect the USC to win that game. And you'd expect them to win the game in Pullman the way they won it. But kind of the script of how it happened was very unique.
Yeah, it definitely was. Another unique place to land an aircraft would be in, State College, Pennsylvania.
Oh, here we go.
Did you catch any of that Auburn Penn State game?
Well, I was deeply concerned about the night before.
Okay.
Which was my Maryland-Illinois clash.
Yeah, how'd you feel about that?
Maryland, pretty explosive. Tua's little brother, Taulia, is a fun, twitchy player.
Mm-hmm.
They always have great perimeter
Rakim Jarrett.
Yeah, and they have him. They have Dante Demus.
Mm-hmm.
So they always have great perimeter play and really good perimeter play on the defensive side of the ball, too. And it looks like they're getting better up front. Illinois, obviously, not a great football team, but that was a recipe for any team to have a disaster, right? Opening of the conference on the road at night on a weekday. and you just played Howard. they did survive. But Maryland's got a big weeknight matchup coming up with Iowa, which will be interesting on a Friday night on Fox as it's the early part of the Big Ten. But, yes, I saw Penn State a little bit beaten up on the Auburn Tigers under the new coach from Boise, Brian Harsin, and they looked formidable. Now you've beaten Wisconsin and Auburn. Has that got you in the top five yet?
No, it hasn't.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
it really is, though. It's a crying shame, man. I think personally the AP poll has something against Penn State. Don't know what it is. Can't imagine what it is. But Petros, I got to ask you about. Well,
I could.
I think of something.
Yeah.
I got to ask you about.
Well, what is it?
What's been thrown out there?
Come on.
In regards to the head coaching search there at USC, Deion Sanders became a potential candidate. At least,
well, come on, let's say it right. Yeah. Coach Prime.
Yeah. Coach Prime.
Yes, Coach Prime.
Could Coach Prime, could he work at USC?
I can't honor that with an answer.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I mean, I think USC is looking for a program builder. And I don't really know if Coach Prime has proven that he's got the ability to do that yet. I think USC's got to dig deep and make less of a splash hire and more of a we need this for the next 10 years of the TV deal as a conference type of hire. And if they went and hired Coach Prime, actually it would be so absurd that I think I would come out the other end in full support. But I didn't know that. I think the Penn State coach would probably be a lot.
Don't
better.
Do that. Let's revisit Prime. Like, no, I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you do that.
Let's go with Prime.
Let's go with, like, think about this. You're talking about get a guy that is a more program builder. I mean, you guys don't give guys time to build programs at USC.
What are you talking about? It was 7 years watching Clay Helton. He fired 15 assistant coaches. Is that not time? What do you want?
I don't know. It's just so much turnover there.
Well, it's turmoil, LeVar. It's the last three coaches at USC have been fired in the middle of the season.
I didn't realize it was 7 years for Clay Helton.
Seven years of ineptitude and a guy that everybody knows can't hire staff. The first two people Clay Helton called when he got the job, when he got the actual coaching job, and they pulled the interim label off him, and Pat Hayden hired him. The first two people he called, Now, you have to think, like, who's the first two people you would call if you got a head coaching job?
Deion
like,
Sanders.
Who would Coach Prime call?
Coach right? Prime.
Who would right. he call? Michael Irvin and Emmett? You know, like, who are the first two people you would call if you got the USC job to come? The first two people Clay Helton called was his brother and his father's best friend. And they were both at Western Kentucky. And he brought them in. But they both ended up having to be fired, like a slew of other assistants, just to keep Clay Helton as, like, this paper figurehead in charge at USC. It's obviously a formula that just didn't work. You don't run a program like that. The first two people you call have to be like Tom Herman and Brett Venables. You have to make people tell you no in a situation like USC. When it comes to Franklin, I mean, how many coordinators has he fired, though, offensively?
A lot. There have been a lot.
Yeah, so that's a concern if you're USC.
We haven't been good on offense since Coach Moorhead left. Moorhead was the man, bro.
And still is at Oregon right
yes,
now.
Yes, still is. And so,
well, they don't throw it to the wide receivers, but that's more of a Cristobal thing at Oregon. But they have two ex-Penn State coordinators in the Northwest. One is on the only hope in the Northwest for the college football playoff at this point in the season, Moorhead at Oregon. The other one's the dude Donovan at Washington, who's just about to walk the plank into the Sound because they are struggling.
I don't know why you would pull any of those guys to another program to be an OC. They just haven't been good since Moorhead. So I wouldn't be concerned about that with Frank. Just be concerned about someone else. Don't.
Okay, I'm not bothering. Don't want. It doesn't matter what I say.
Pop, don't even put it out there, man. Okay. I don't want
you
that out there.
Can we go back to Coach Prime?
I was trying to pull the conversation together.
No. Keep that one apart.
Coach Prime.
Yeah.
You guys are trying to make me say something mean about Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Petros. Petros.
Who else has suggested Coach Prime for any job ever, other than the job that he had?
He was up for Florida State. By the way, the reason why I think Coach Prime would not end up at USC is if he takes another job, it would probably be Florida State. They have more money. It's the recruiting talent. It's his alma mater. They've already kind of made a run at him.
Florida State has more money than USC? Are you crazy?
They've got a lot more than I think you realize, yeah.
Well, look up the endowments.
Sure.
USC.
I'll put it this way.
USC is a bunch of elitists. Yeah, that's true.
Well, they barf money, but they've been cash-strapped of late, right? I mean, why did they get rid of Clay Helton sooner? Because they didn't have a replacement, or they didn't have enough cash and they want to buy him out?
Because they wanted control of the program. They've always had the cash. I mean, look, have you ever been to any universities? Like, they're always constantly rebuilding. Like, they're the only places that look good in the world right now. Like, every university, like, you go to a university, you're like, oh, look, it's very different from the last time I was here 6 months ago. They've built 7 new buildings and 18 new endowments, and they're still calling everybody and asking for money. Don't ever give your money to a college. Ever. When they call you, hang up. Seriously, it's better just to throw your money down to a toilet. Like, my God. So they could build something else. Like, all they do is build.
Unless they put your name on there. Like, yeah, get my name on there.
They got an Al Cowlings building at SC.
Oh, geez. Do they really?
Uh-huh. I mean, a residence hall.
He didn't do anything wrong, you know.
No, I mean.
He was just a driver. In fact, he did everything right.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, he did do something. He was aiding and abetting. Yeah, so that's technically illegal.
He was helping him get to where he was trying to go.
My favorite part about
that. He was Uber before Uber.
Yeah, when they had the phone call. And wouldn't he have to be guilty to be aiding?
I'm just saying. I don't know. Yeah, it's just kind of a technicality.
Well, when you're I don't know, fugitive man. Of the law.
Can we go back
to Coach Prime?
I would like to mention when Al Cowlings was driving and they had the recording of when the cops are like, you know, well, he's like, this AC, I got OJ in the back.
This AC.
And they were like,
who?
Excuse me, who is that? God damn it, you know who I am as AC.
Totally made it about him in that movie. You don't know who Al Collins is?
Yeah, you're still a sidekick, AC. Come on now.
It's Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports.
God damn it, you know it's me.
Coach
Fox,
College Football Analyst. Petros, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, as always.
Let's did Coach Prime ever find his phone that got stolen from the locker room?
Yeah, whatever happened
to that
story.
They took his jewelry, too. It all got... Maybe they returned all of it.
Maybe it was the homeless guy at USC.
They said it was an accident.
Yeah. Maybe it was that bum at USC.
Well, they said it wouldn't happen at USC.
Yeah, keep...
I'm calling the SC game this week. Don't make me talk about the homeless punter.
Okay.
The punt returner, excuse me.
Yeah. Very good. All right.
I just hope you talk about Coach Prime.
Yeah, just some point.
I'll throw it out. You know what? I'll throw it out there. I'll put Coach Prime on my board of candidates for the game when we get to coming out of the second quarter. Okay, what do we got here? We got Matt Campbell. We got Luke Fickell. We got the guy Joe Brady in the NFL. We got Coach Prime.
Yeah, there he is. Get him on Twitter at the OP. Petros, we appreciate it, man. Let's do it again soon.
Franklin to SC.
Stop,
there it
man.
Is. There it is.
Can we dump that? Stop. Stop.
Wait,
Pops.
Dump that. Dump that.
Yes.
That.
Yes. Jeez.
There he is. Oh, the great.
No one needs to hear that.
I think you'll get Fickell out of it, though. Like, I think that's how the chess pieces move.
I hope so. Well, listen, stay away from State College, man.
Yeah.
Did we get anything accomplished on that interview, though? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, we brought up the homeless guy that was there.
We got a new way of saying Coach Prime.
Yeah, that
which I think is a dope soundbite from Brady. By the way,
can I be real? Like. I think, I mean, it's not the wildest thing. Like, obviously, I think he could make it work.
I think you're onto something, Brady. Listen, I know Pops is like trying to be as literal as possible in that moment. But, dude, Coach Prime could be like the best thing that happened for a program.
He would have
like
to be dependent on his staff.
But aren't every head coach has to be dependent on their staff? And he could get the type of staff that could run a USC. They would get all the recruits.
No, I mean, there's
they
no
get
doubt they
every
could, they
recruit
could recruit
in America.
Get every,
it ain't happening.
By the way, here's the only other thing that I think when you say, oh, well, like, we need to get a coach here who can recruit. First off, it's Southern California. It recruits itself. And now with NIL, you just have to spend the money.
Yes.
Like, forget who the head coach is. I don't care if it's Prime or anyone else. All you have to do is write a check to these kids for NIL money, and they're coming. Like, you just have to be able to get out your checkbook and write bigger checks than your competition. It's not hard to recruit anymore that now that everything's basically legalized in regards to name, image, and likeness and how you can kind of skirt around, you know, what really has become now a way of paying these
kids. A pro league.
Yeah, a pro model.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.